WPRB HD3 Princeton.
WOLD.
Now, back to more of the all-new Garden Show with Peggy Ballester Howells on 95.1 WOLD. To reach Peggy, give us a call now at 908-448-0951. That number again is 908-448-0951. Once again, here's your host, Peggy Ballester Howells.
Jordan mentioned gumfrinas.
I did.
I love gumfrinas.
They're beautiful.
Gumfrinas are, and Barry really, no, was it Barry?
Yeah, it was Barry.
He mentioned the portulaca and having a long-lived flower.
Mm-hmm.
Gumfrinas are really fun and definitely long-lived flowers. I don't know that they would be as applicable mm-hmm. to a cemetery environment as the portulaca is, because the portulaca has a succulent leaf and holds moisture in the leaves so that in really hot weather you can get away without watering them as much and maybe at all if there's intermittent rain, because they hold all that moisture in the plants themselves. Gumfrina is kind of cool though and is worth giving some thought to and yeah. a lot of interesting applications, because the flowers sort of are self-drying on the plant. And so they bloom for a really long time, and then they become kind of papery, sort of like straw flowers yeah. is another plant that does that.
I was
that.
Just going to say that.
But the gumfrina, the straw flowers, they do that, and they're fun. I like all the different brilliant colors mm-hmm. that the gumfrina comes in. And they tend to be sort of spherical or elongated. Yeah. They come both kinds of flowers, and lots of tiny petals, but brilliant colors, bright red, purple, pink. They're really fun and very low maintenance, but you will need to water them once in a while or the foliage will dry up. And if the foliage dries up, then the plants are pretty much done. So maybe not in a cemetery, mm-hmm. but in a place where, you know, relatively low maintenance and where you can water them once in a while if things get really hot and dry. And they make terrific cut flowers, dried flowers, you can just dry them and have them. They'll last for a really long time. So that is a fun plant and maybe useful more than just, you know, a garden flower, because, you know, you can use it in arrangements, you can use it dried, and it would even do well. It's a smallish plant and would even do well in containers. So that is a fun plant you may want to pay some attention to. And you also mentioned, Jordan, gazanias.
Mm-hmm.
I love gazanias.
I know. We planted so many gazanias at Ocean Grove yeah. last year. So many.
And they are another plant that is really heat tolerant. And they're kind of, they make me think of Mexico.
I can see that. It's very like Day of the Dead color scheme.
Yes. And really dramatic.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes with interesting kind of patterns on them a little bit.
Yeah.
So it has a very fun Mexican vibe to it. The thing is, and again, they will tolerate the heat and they will thrive and they don't even necessarily need a lot of water. So a good choice for a lot of places, hot places, but there's a negative to almost everything, isn't there?
Mm-hmm.
There's a downside. There's the pros and cons. The con here is that the dead flowers have to be removed every once in a while or you won't get any new flowers. And when they die and they shrivel up, they look really ugly.
Yeah, and not only that, but they're hard to deadhead. Sometimes you can just walk by a flower and snip off the spent bud with your finger, but this one, you have to get a pruner out.
Well, at least a snip.
Yeah.
Yeah, you need to some. They have a but that's part of what makes them so sturdy,
mm-hmm.
that, you know, they're tough. The plants themselves are tough. But gazanias are fun. And if you've never seen a gazania, you should look them up, because it's a daisy-like flower.
Mm-hmm.
Not a daisy, but a daisy-like flower. And they come in the vivid colors and are very tolerant of the hot weather. So
right.
That's why we put them in Ocean Grove, because they're in the bed between the sidewalk and the street, and that street gets hot.
Yeah, and super hot.
And they do okay.
They thrived all summer.
Yeah, they
and
did.
And last summer was hot, dry, dry, dry.
Yes.
So. Yeah.
So they are very useful from that. And that, wasn't there another one that you mentioned?
I did maybe some osteospermum,
yeah.
but I'm not as familiar with that one.
Well, they have another daisy-like flower, mm-hmm. and they are very prolific bloomers. Mm-hmm. I don't think they're quite as tough
right.
as the gazanias or the gumfrinas, mm-hmm. but they're probably tougher than, well, you know, they're not an anemone or a begonia. I mean, begonias are tough in their own way, but not in the heat. Not like that. They need a little shade and mm-hmm. a little bit of shade, and they need water. They will live forever and bloom forever, but you don't want them in the hot, sunny location. So the osteospermum would be another choice. Again, not in a bed that you can neglect, but mm-hmm. but a pretty daisy-like and a little bit different. So these are all choices. All right, we're going to go... is that Massachusetts we're getting a call from? We're getting a call from Massachusetts. Cool. We're going to have a little chat with Dan. Oh, good morning, gosh. Dan.
Hello, how are you?
I'm doing quite well. What can we do for you?
Good. Yeah, I mix of I grow a lot of herbs in containers.
Yes.
And sometimes I use the soil and the parsley just dies on me or whatever. I was just wondering, is there any specific way to mix the soil?
What kind of soil are you using?
I'm using a brand called Coast of Maine.
Oh. I'm not familiar with that brand. Is it nice and loose?
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And you're making sure that the pots all have good drainage?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And tell me, if they're dying, how are they dying? Describe them to me.
They never grow. You know, they just kind of like turn yellow, particularly the parsley.
That parsley is very sensitive to overwatering.
Mm-hmm.
Is it possible that they could be overwatered? Oh, here's a question. Are you using plastic pots or clay pots?
I'm using plastic pots.
Okay, first thing I would do, especially for the parsley, is switch to clay pots.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason for that is that the clay pots will breathe. So if there is a watering problem, you will lose some of that extra moisture through the sides of the pots as well, mm-hmm. which is good. It really does sound like an overwatering problem, so you might want to mix something else in with the soil a little bit to just make it a little bit looser.
Mm-hmm.
A little perlite or vermiculite, mm-hmm. a little bit, to just loosen it up a little bit. Even some peat moss, a little bit of peat moss, just something to make it a little bit looser so that it has better drainage. That's mm-hmm. what it sounds like. So it doesn't turn brown and shrivel up. It gets yellow and flops over.
It turns yellow. It loses the color and the leaves and everything.
Yeah, that sounds like overwatering.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And how's everything else doing? Is your rosemary doing okay?
Yeah, that's in the soil. I have that in the soil. And I grow sorrel and all that kind of
stuff.
Wait,
you grow rosemary in the ground?
In the ground,
Do you plant it every year or does it overwinter for you?
It overwinters.
Well, aren't you lucky? Are you overwintering your rosemary in Massachusetts?
Yeah, well, we had a mild winter this winter, too.
Yes, we did have a mild winter, but I lost rosemary plants 2 years in a row and a mild winter,
mm-hmm.
and I have a beautiful rosemary plant in a container in my greenhouse, mm-hmm. and I use mm-hmm. it. I have this recipe for a loin of pork that I take salt and garlic and rosemary and rub it all over, and then, oh, it's so good. So I have to have rosemary because it's really good. We've had trouble keeping rosemary. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if it's the temperature fluctuations mm-hmm. that
yeah.
make it not mm-hmm. survive. Because when plants go truly deeply dormant, they have a better chance of surviving. And if they come partially out of dormancy because the weather is unseasonably warm, then when the weather gets normally cold again, that's when the plants give up because they're not deeply mm-hmm. dormant again. So in Massachusetts, perhaps your weather's slightly more consistent. But I would say the overwatering for the parsley. Is there anything else
okay.
I can do for you?
No, I'm glad you're back.
Oh, thank
you. I discovered you about 10 years ago, and I listen every week. So.
Oh. Well, thank you for listening every week, and I am very glad to be back. And my button manager here is Sean, and he's right here. He doesn't talk. He's quiet. He doesn't say a word.
Mm-hmm.
But he's a really good guy, and we owe him some thanks for letting us get back on the air.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, Andy from South River was the one who made all the connections, so I couldn't have done it on my own.
Mm-hmm.
But we're having fun, and I'm glad to be back. So thank you, and thank you for listening.
Great. I will continue.
All right. You have a great day.
You too.
Bye. Bye-bye. growing herbs in containers. We do some of that. And we had some things over winter. My sage overwintered nicely.
It did. It did a great job.
It did. And the thyme did really well in the ground.
Chives.
And the chives. Well, they're so reliable. You know, they're kind of about to bloom.
I'm so excited.
Yes. The chives make little round purpley blue flowers.
They're gorgeous.
Yeah. They're like, they sort of along the lines of gumfrina, sort of like round and lots of tiny little petals. And like chive is an allium, like the many ornamental alliums that have gigantic flowers with lots of tiny little petals.
Mm-hmm.
The chive flowers, they're such a beautiful color, and they're a color that's not very common in the flowering world, that blue color. They are kind of a periwinkle blue, but more on the blue side. It is so much fun to cut the flowers off and throw them in the salad.
Yep, I was just going to say, if you were going to mention it, you're the person that taught me that. It is such a cool little tip.
Yeah, and it's so pretty and so crunchy and yummy. But then the stalks from the flowers are really ugly. So you have to cut them off because they're like a tube. They're like a straw, a tube, and they're a little woodier isn't quite the right word, but
more rigid.
More rigid, yes. Excellent choice. They are more rigid than the green leaves of the chives plant, so they kind of stick out when you, if you just take the little flower off the tip, and they kind of look weird. So better to cut the flower stalk at the base, and then cut the flower off and give them a little rinse and throw them in the salad and munch on them because they're so good and so pretty. They make the salad look really pretty.
They really jazz it up.
They do. They definitely. Throw a little bit of that, some dried cranberries.
Oh, yeah.
And a few little walnuts. And, man, you have got a salad that is so good and so pretty. It's so much appealing to look at that you just want to eat it. So it's good. It's good. All right. We have another caller. We have two. All right, we're going to go with, that was Dan. We already talked to him, and this is Danny from Metuchen. This is Danny girl. How you doing, Danny?
Good morning, ladies. How
good
are you?
Good morning. We're good. Did you read on my webpage where I mentioned you?
Yes.
Yes, that was very important.
Thank you.
That you got credit where credit is due. So what else can we do for you today?
So since you were mentioning about the chive flowers.
Yes.
And the woody stalk. I actually didn't have time and to collect them last year, so I have a bunch of them growing on the side of my raised bed, and it's kind of wee, but I always told Dave, don't weed whack it. You know, I collect them, I cook them, I eat them, but last year I didn't get a chance to harvest them, so a lot of them had turned into flowers and turned into seed. I cut them up, and I put them in the dry vase. And they're decorative because the seed inside is black. The rest of them are turning like off white or tan color. It's a dried flower display.
Yes. I have seen that also. And all of the allium flowers, and of course, you know, chives are one of the many alliums, they all can be left on there to dry, and all of them will do that.
Mm-hmm.
They're pretty spectacular, actually. I have some that I spray painted copper. They're pretty outrageous.
Ooh.
Some of the big ones that I spray painted copper. So those are fun. So yes, but thank you for, I would not have thought of that at this moment. So thank you for adding. And they are about to bloom. So if you want to leave a few on there to turn, you know, to dry, and then you just harvest, they just dry on the plant and you can harvest them dry. Easy peasy, sort of like the gumfrinas that you can harvest. They just dry on the plant and the, what was the other one that we mentioned? The straw flowers. Yeah, those are plants that just dry when they're out there, and you just cut them, and they give you a second life, so to speak.
Right. So, all right. So that wasn't what my main reason of calling. I don't know if you saw my text that I sent you this morning.
I saw
that
you texted, but Danny, I'm not at my best when I wake up on a Sunday morning. I have to get dressed. I have to get focused. I have to get in the car. I have to drive up here. And that's about all I can handle on a Sunday morning. So what I know you sent me something. So you sent me something about starting seeds. Tell me about it.
Okay. So last year I had tried to start some of these seeds. I remember, I think the first one I was trying was foxgloves and, you know, a couple of flowers that I having a hard time finding them in the garden center. Mm-hmm. And I came across some of the seeds, and so I said, let me start them. I put them in the, you know, seed starting trays, and this, nothing ever happened. So I was growing these microgreens. I say, if I can grow microgreens and I can see them developing, why don't I try them with my regular flower seeds, which I did. So I used these clam shells that you can get, you know, from any kind of fruits and vegetables, you can get them. Mm-hmm. As long as they have holes in the bottom. So I lay a piece of damp paper towel, and then I just put the seeds on top. And then I wet the paper towels, and then I cover them up with the clam shell. And for some of them, it's easier that they would just sprout that way. But then I found some of them need a little bit more moisture. So I just put these produce plastic bag over it and put a zip top twist tie and stuck them on top of my refrigerator.
Well, nice. That's good because the refrigerator's warm.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and it's consistent.
Yes, and yes. It provides bottom
heat. You can see, you can see when the seeds started to pop up.
Well, that's fun. I'm glad that worked. So those clamshells, I use those clamshells for a variety of things, but those are great.
Right. So you basically has a dome built in already, and you just put that plastic bag around it to keep it moist. So my question for you, now since I got them started, so how would you recommend me transplant them? I bought some of those seed starting cups. So I figured, I was thinking putting them in those cups so they can really develop before I put them in the ground.
When you say cups,
what kind of mixture?
Okay. When you say cups, seed starting cups, do you mean like the peat moss cups that are solid peat moss?
Those are biodegradable. I think they call it seed starter strips or something.
Okay, but there's two different kinds. There's the kind that are like a tablet. Mm-hmm. That when you wet them, they kind of expand. And then there's the kind that's just like a cup that you put soil in. Which kind are we talking about?
Just the one with the cup.
Okay. So, you can use those. The thing is, you want to be really, really careful handling them because they're very they're very delicate.
Right.
You might, and of course, you want to only handle them by the seed leaves because the seed leaves are somewhat disposable. You can, you know, but you don't want to handle it by any new shoot that's coming up in the middle, any kind of true leaf, because if you break that off, you're done.
Right.
So just handle them very carefully. And, you know, one of my favorite tools, and you probably already know this, but I love to use chopsticks and make just the tiniest hole with the chopstick to get the root in, and then shove it, the dirt up around it very gently with the chopstick. And here, you are going to make fun of me because you've made fun of me in the past. I love to use my little squirt bottles that to water things, and those with that little tiny tip that just has a little tiny stream of water is perfect for watering those little guys in so that it's not too, you know, much water that it smothers them.
Drowns
them. So use something really delicate to water them in and keep them moist. You might want to cover them again with something just for a day or so, just to keep the humidity up so that they don't dry out. They don't dry up in the process of making the transition from paper towel to soil. Keep the humidity up. Maybe just put them in a plastic bag and leave the plastic bag open at the top. You don't need to create actual moisture in there, just a little humidity. But just give them a chance to adapt to the new environment, and you should be okay.
Okay. So my next question is, what type of soil would you recommend? Should I start still using the seed starting type, or should I mix half and half the regular potting soil and have the seed starter? Because I'm just afraid that the regular potting soil will be too dense, too heavy for it.
Yeah, you could mix half and half. That sounds like a good idea.
Okay.
Like a good idea. I generally just use potting soil pretty much for everything. And that works for us pretty well. But if you have the seed starter, and mixing it half and half would be a good adjustment. That would make the transition easier. That would be good.
Okay. Sounds good.
All right. Everything else good?
Yes.
Okay. Then we will be in touch soon and give Dave a hug, okay? All right. Thanks for calling.
I will do that.
Okay.
All righty.
Bye-bye now. All right. We need to take a little break now, or should we? All right. So let me give the phone number. It's 908-448-0951, and we will be back after this.
This is the All-New Garden Show with Peggy Ballester-Howells. We'll take more of your calls next on 95.1 WOLD, home of New Jersey's greatest hits. The call-in line is 908-448-0951. That's 908-448-0951.
As lovers of gardening, we sometimes think that others are just like us. Well, there are a lot of people that are just like us, that are the salt of the earth and always amenable to helping out each other. And that's one of the things about gardening that's so wonderful, is that it brings all kinds of people together.
Absolutely.
And all, you know, ages and nationalities and cultures. But not everybody's like that. There are, I'm sorry to say, some no goodnicks out there.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to protect yourself. And I've seen on, you know, all kinds of devices that capture the burglar on the front porch, and those the whole rash of people that are stealing Amazon packages off the porch. You don't want those people around.
No, you want to deter them.
You want to deter them. And our friends at Elite Surveillance, well, they're the ones, they can definitely help you avoid anybody that's going to try to mess with you, and they will regret it if you can get them on camera. So you call Elite Surveillance at 732-702-2434, and you can get a free estimate on a brand new state-of-the-art camera system to cover your biggest investment, your home, your property, your garden,
mm-hmm.
your dogs. I worry about people stealing my dogs.
Of course, they're magnificent dogs.
You don't want this to happen.
Mm-mm.
Andrew Allegro and his Elite Surveillance crew are the folks to trust when it comes to top-notch professional installation of a surveillance system, and that'll keep you connected to what's happening 24 hours a day. Just having the cameras visible on the outside of your home will deter them, because when those wishing to do you harm see those cameras, they're going to just move right on down the road. So call Elite Surveillance today. Once again, 732-702-2434. 732-702-2434. Or visit EliteSurveillanceNewJersey.com to learn more and mention the All New Garden Show, and you'll get 10% discount on your same day installation. Once again, that number is 732-702-2434.
ABC News, I'm Mark Remillard. Just one day out of the hospital, Pope Francis appearing at St. Peter's Square to deliver a Palm Sunday Mass.
Fratelli e sorelle, fin dall'inizio della Quaresima.
30,000 people estimated to be in the square on Sunday morning. Francis was discharged from the hospital on Saturday after undergoing treatment for bronchitis. 24 people are dead following the powerful storm system that swept over the central U.S. beginning Friday, bringing dozens of tornadoes to at least 9 states. More than 450,000 customers are without power from Arkansas to New York. Authorities in Oklahoma City investigating a shooting at a bar that left 3 people dead and 3 others injured Saturday. Police say they've not made any arrests. Pakistani police arresting 8 people after a stampede in Karachi killed 12. The stampede occurred as business owners passed out food and cash, a common occurrence during Ramadan. UConn and San Diego State headed to the NCAA final after wins in the Final Four on Saturday. This is ABC News.
WOLD, New Jersey weather.
Quite a gusty breeze left over. that will slowly diminish over the course of the day. Some leftover clouds giving way to sunshine, too. The day as a whole is mostly sunny. Temperature in the low 50s this afternoon. A partly cloudy sky tonight with a low in the low 30s, and for tomorrow, partly to mostly sunny day. We make it into the low 60s. Some clouds start to roll in Monday night and Tuesday. Showers should pass well north of us through the night and Tuesday, but then Tuesday night and Wednesday, we could see a couple of showers. In fact, they're more likely later Wednesday into Thursday, but both days featuring temperatures in the lower 70s. Watching the weather around the clock, I'm meteorologist Phil Spivak on Oldies 107.9 WOLD. Now serving even more of Central Jersey at 95.1 FM.
The current temperature is 44 degrees.
It's spring, and what are the chances you'll be hearing this sound? There's no need to pull your shoulder out of your socket. Gary is the small engine specialist, and he is your one stop for lawnmower repair and maintenance. Gary offers pickup and delivery and can diagnose most issues right there at your home. And whether it's your lawnmower, edger, blower, power washer, generator, or snowblower, Gary's the man to call. If you own a machine and it takes gasoline, Gary the small engine specialist can fix it. Call 917-807-3901. And be sure to mention the All New Garden Show to receive lawnmower blade sharpening at no extra charge with every repair. That's Gary, the small engine specialist. 917-807-3901. Your home is your greatest investment. When it comes time to attend to your most pressing concerns, call Rest Assured Restored at 732-781-8857. Whether it's exterior or interior painting, power washing, bathroom remodeling, cleaning out the garage or attic, rest assured you've found the help you need. Do you have water or mold damage? Rest assured, these pros will assist you. In fact, if there's any home improvement you're thinking of, call the owner, Kelly, for a free estimate. The number, 732-781-8857. And find out more at restassuredrestored.com. And if you mention you heard about Kelly and his team on the All New Garden Show, you receive a 10% discount on the services they provide.
WOLD.
Now, back to more of the All New Garden Show with Peggy Ballister Howells on 95.1 WOLD. To reach Peggy, give us a call now at 908-448-0951. That number again is 908-448-0951. Once again, here's your host, Peggy Ballister Howells.
Welcome back to The Garden Show. I'm Peggy Ballister Howells, and I'm here with...
Jordan.
Yes, and Jordan and I are going to have a little chat with Nancy from Piscataway. Hey, Nance, how you doing?
Hey, Peggy, I'm well. How are you?
I'm good. I'm real good. It's going to be a beautiful week. I know you guys have not been feeling so great, so I hope you're feeling better and be able to take advantage of this beautiful weather and get outside and get caught up.
Yeah, we're starting little by little. So, but congratulations on this show. I mean, today especially, it sounds very, very natural. It's like you're sinking into your spot there. You know, both you and Jordan, and Andy's doing a good job. So, yay!
Well, feel like it's starting to feel like home, which is good. It was an adjustment. I mean, I've been doing everything pretty much the same for 34 years, so everything was kind of new and it was exactly the same and completely new and different at the same time. So but a great crew here to work with, I have to say. We're very fortunate. So, and I get to talk to all my old friends, which is, you know, the best part, of course. So what can I do for you today?
So last year, at the exchange, I got a Moses in the Cradle plant.
Oh, yes.
And it had the little cradles. It was so cute. And I also got a snake plant at the same time. And I thought, the care for both of them would be the same. So I put them in a, you know, a place that wasn't getting too much light. It was getting some. And then the snake plant's doing fine, but the other plant, like I have no more cradles. It's real tall and skinny. And I looked up online why it might be tall and skinny, because it's not getting enough light, but not about why it's not getting cradles. So I'm going to move it into the living room where it gets more light. The only problem is it also, I had a, last year, you probably don't remember, but I had fungus gnats in the house with all my plants, and I was like, it took me a year to get pretty much rid of them. It's still a little problem. I put vinegar traps in the, you know, in little containers in the pod, and but the one, that plant, the Moses plant, has more. So when I move it into the living room, I hope it's not going to infect my other plants, but that's the only room where it's going to get enough light. So that's my question. Like, what do I have to do to make it get cradles again? And
okay,
so it's not so tall and skinny, which
definitely,
is good for something, but not for plants.
Definitely, it needs more light, which is why it's tall and skinny. But that's the same reason as to why it's not getting the cradles. And for the people that don't know what we're talking about, the cradles actually look like a little baby wrapped in a cradle, and and that's how it got its name, Moses in the Cradle. When it's more robust, it'll start making flowers again. And Jordan, you had wanted to add something?
Yeah, so I had my own struggles with fungus gnats for a while, and you can always use yellow sticky traps, but you can also do, and this is huge right now in like the online plant communities, everybody's talking about this, is using, a lot of people call them mosquito dunks or mosquito bits.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, you can make
I
tea.
I used those.
You did? Is that kind of what took care of it for you for the most part?
No.
No?
No.
Oh my gosh,
and then
crazy.
I called Peggy about it, and she said with the dish detergent and, the, you know, let the plants all dry out and then soak them with that. Do it three times. I let them dry for like 2 months one time.
Oh,
it's crazy.
Gosh.
It's crazy. And they're under control now. They're like once in a while I'll see one. But in that plant, like the I'm still every time I'm getting them dead in my vinegar traps. I've replanted plants. It's crazy. But so, you know, I hope that it doesn't infect the others. But maybe if I transplant it again into a different pot.
No. Here's what I want you to do, Nancy. I want you to let it get really dry. Okay?
Okay.
And then I want you to fill a bucket with soapy water. And I want you to sit the pot in the soapy water so it's completely emerged, the pot, not the plant part, just the pot, and so that anything in there is going to drown.
Okay.
With the soapy water, and then let it sit in there for like half an hour, no more than half an hour, but half an hour, and then pull it out and put it in a spot where it can drain really well, like a dish drain kind of a thing, so that it the water can really run out, that it's not sitting in any kind of a puddle. And once it's drained really well, then move it to the sunny location. And I think that'll help.
Okay. And just one more thing. So I guess I should prune her or him because, you know, it's real. But when I prune it, like if I go down, it's just there won't be any leaves. That's how leggy it is. So should I not prune it or?
Well, it's hard for me to tell without looking at it, but my guess would be you're making a lot of changes, so just leave it for a little bit until it seems to just, you're sure that it's stable. And how many shoots does it have?
Oh, brother, I'm not in the room right now. A lot.
Okay, so then when the time comes when you're sure that it's stable and it's adjusted to the new light, cut half of them back.
Okay.
Just half of them. And when you see the ones that you cut back sending out new shoots, cut the other half back.
Okay.
And okay. That'll give it a chance to regenerate without it being completely naked.
Yeah. Okay.
And I think you'll be okay. But really saturating it and letting it become completely waterlogged with soapy water, I think that'll really help with the fungus gnats so that you don't move them to other plants. I think that'll help.
That's a plan, and I'm about ready to cough.
Okay. Don't say anything else. Cover the phone and cough if you have to. Have your wonderful husband give you a hug and feel better and let me know how the plant does, okay?
Feel better, Nancy.
Okay, bye-bye, Nance.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. They both had COVID really bad.
Poor baby.
They're just getting back on their feet.
Yeah. But
they're lovely, lovely, lovely people.
Mm-hmm.
So, do we have another caller? Oh, Chris from Scotch Plains. Good morning, Chris from Scotch Plains.
Good morning, Peggy. Good morning, Jordan. Good to speak with both of you.
Good morning, Chris.
Hi, my vote for the cemetery plant is the annual flowering vinca. It's not as resilient as the portulaca, but they don't need any deadheading. They are not really succulent, but it seems like they can deal pretty well without a whole lot of watering. I planted them in the cemetery at my parents' grave. The only issue we had was the lawnmower people mowing the vinca, but aside from that, everything else worked well. So, just a thought.
I'm glad you brought that up. That is one of my favorite plants.
Mm-hmm.
It's so funny. It's called annual vinca, and you're correct, and it is absolutely no relation whatsoever to vinca, which is, its actual botanical name is Catharanthus, and it's tropical, and it's actually, they're doing a lot of medicinal research on it. The plant is supposedly, they're developing some medicinal applications of that plant, but it is a beauty, and you are right. It does self-deadhead, and that is a joy. Last year, I planted all different kinds of petunia-like things to hang over in my pots in the Garden of Ancient Ruins, and I swore I would never plant them again because they get leggy and they get ugly and you have to cut the dead flowers off and they look weird. And I said, you know what I'm going to plant in here next year? Chris, tell me, what am I going to plant there next year, this year?
Annual vinca.
You've got it. They're great. And I'm glad you reminded me, or I would have gone out and I would have bought more of those dumb old petunias that get ugly in there. And so thank you for reminding me. And they are an excellent choice. I totally agree. Totally agree.
No, they're one of my favorite plants. The leaves are nice and glossy. They're kind of like thrive on neglect. They do very well. Mm-hmm. No deadheading, attractive flowers, compact habit. They're good. That was my proposal or suggestion for the cemetery thing. In terms of starting tomato plants, I've been gardening for a number of years. Sometimes I start them earlier, sometimes later. Last year I started them around April 9th. That was my wedding anniversary. It was kind of like pushing the envelope in terms of the plants being ready. Do you have any suggested time, what's an optimal time for starting them?
Well, it really varies a little bit from variety to variety. Generally, you read the seed packet and it'll say blank weeks before the last frost. And a lot of them are 8 to 10 weeks before the last frost. And some of them are 6 to 8 weeks before the last frost. And some of the little mini ones are just 6 weeks before the last frost. So reading that and making piles of seeds, we did this year, that you want to start in the middle of March or the end of March or early April, is very helpful. And then you just put them on your potting bench or wherever it is that you work. And then when you go through all your seeds, you say, okay, I have to start these this week, and I have to start those next week, and I have to start these a week after that. And that's very helpful. As a general rule, middle of March kind of works because in the middle of March, it's 4 weeks to the middle of April and 4 weeks to the middle of May. So that's 8 weeks. Now, frost date varies from the middle of May to the end of May. So that covers the 8 to 10 weeks, depending on when you want to get them in the ground. Now, if you are starting some of them that, and this is only for tomato plants, if you're starting mm-hmm. some of them that can be 6 to 8 weeks or 6 to 8 weeks, and if they get too big, the mm-hmm. tomato plant is one of the few plants you just put it in the ground deeper and you take the leaves off and it's not straggly.
Mm-hmm.
So tomato plants have that flexibility, so that if they get a little too tall, you just plant them deeper and they have a better root system. So it's kind of a win-win. I wouldn't say that with everything, but with tomatoes, you have that flexibility.
Very good, very good. I'll try to remember that. Just an update on the butterfly peas. I think last week I called and I said I had 2 or 3 that were sprouted. At this point, I'm up to 5 altogether, so it seems like they're, you know, not coming up all at once, but they're, you know, patience is a virtue. They do seem to be doing pretty well, so that's a good thing.
Patience in gardening is very important, so, but I'm glad you're having success. That's great. All right, anything else I can do for you today?
Yeah, just one last quick question. In terms of planting vegetables out, I have my onions and leeks hardening off during this week. Are we good to plant them out soon today at this point?
Your onions and leeks, did you grow them from seed?
I did, yes.
Okay. As long as they're hardened off, yes, they can go out. Anytime, as long as they're hardened off. If they're not properly hardened off, they'll get all floppy and weird. But if you harden them off, they can go out anytime now.
And in terms of broccoli and cabbage, would you hold off on them for a couple of weeks? I'm hardening them as well.
Yeah,
but I know they're less
mid-April.
Resilient than the onions. Okay.
I would say definitely mid-April, so you got about 2 weeks.
Very good, very good. Okay, thank you so much, Peggy. I appreciate it.
You have a great day. Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Bye-bye now. Well, that was fun.
Yeah.
We have lots of broccoli.
So we have a lot of broccoli.
We did a lot of broccoli. Of course, I love broccoli. Mm-hmm. But by the time because the plant exchange is so late this year, it might be a little late to get the broccoli in the ground.
Right.
But I will have plants to give away at that time. So do we have any more callers, or are we good? We have to take a little break? All right, we'll be back after this.
More of the All-New Garden Show with Peggy Ballester-Howells continues next on 95.1 WOLD. To stay connected with Peggy in between shows, log on to her website, peggygarden.com. That's PEGIgarden.com. And be sure to bookmark it and check back often.
Family-owned Mike's Country Market Nursery and Landscaping offers its customers the services and merchandise for all your gardening and lawn care needs in the spring. And when you're there, you should go hungry.
Agreed.
Okay? Because they have the best sandwiches ever.
They're spectacular.
They really are mm-hmm. good. I mean, we've been there. We went there 2 weeks in a row and tried different things. And they were all good. They were all really, really, really good. And everybody's so nice.
I know. It's like a little family.
It is, definitely. Yeah. It was really nice. And we went in the back, and they're getting new plants in all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to buy something.
Of course.
I can't help myself. I can't help myself. You know, I'm an addict. It's the truth. I mean, maybe not as bad as with the lemon bites, but I'm definitely pretty, when it comes to plants, I'm pretty serious situation here. And they had what was the name of the variety?
Amethyst Dream.
Amethyst Dream,
yeah.
A Centaurea. It's a
gorgeous,
beautiful perennial with purple flowers. I got so excited. I had one last year, and I put it in the ground, and the drought. It was mm-hmm. a young plant, and it was so hot, and it didn't make it, and I was really sad, and I thought I'd never find another one, and there it was, and so it came
lo and behold.
So they have great plants, and of course you have to go visit the passion vine, which is a treat and to behold. It really is this totally huge passion vine that's growing as a ceiling in the greenhouse,
mm-hmm.
just really growing as a ceiling. And so you go, you get a little something to eat, you find what magical plants they have, you chat with everybody, you make some friends, and it's over 200 Riva Avenue in Milltown. And their number is 732-821-7144. So you get your gardening needs taken care of, you get your tummy filled, you have to hang out with friends. It's an all-around great experience. So Mike's Country Market is a proud founding sponsor of the All-New Garden Show on 95.1 WOLD, home of New Jersey's greatest hits, and you can get all their contact information at my website, peggygarden.com, and we'll be back after this.
Mobile One, Lube Express of Edison, a family-owned and operated business serving Central Jersey for more than a decade. From oil changes to wipers, bulbs to maintenance services, they have it covered. And all new car warranties are covered too. No sales, no quotas, no commissions, just honest, quick lube service. Even better, you can now skip the lines and stop in for your New Jersey motor vehicle inspection, as Mobile One Lube Express is now a state-certified emissions test facility. Mobile One Lube Express, 758 Route 1 North in Edison, across from ShopRite. 732-253-8100. And at Mobile One Lube Express in Edison, their philosophy is, life is complicated enough, you take care of your family and job, and they will make sure you get there. Mobile One Lube Express of Edison is a proud sponsor of the all-new Garden Show with Peggy Ballister Howells on 95.1 WOLD.
Thrivent is a proud sponsor of WOLD 95.1 and the all-new Garden Show with Peggy Ballister Howells. Thrivent believes money is a tool, not a goal. Financial representative Amy Nichols will work with you to create a financial strategy that reflects your priorities and helps you protect the things that matter most to you, like family and giving back. Amy can be reached at 610-871-3456. Or you can visit her website at connect.thrivent.com/Amy-Nichols. Once again, Amy can be reached at 610-871-3456. Or you can visit her website at connect.thrivent.com/Amy-Nichols. And that is spelled N-I-C-H-O-L-S.
W-O-L-D.
You're listening to the all-new Garden Show with Peggy Ballister Howells on 95.1 WOLD. You can call Peggy now with your gardening questions at 908-448-0951. That number again is 908-448-0951. Once again, here's your host, Peggy Ballister Howells.
Welcome back to the Garden Show. It's me and
Jordan.
And we're going to have a little chat with Mary from Warren. Hey, Mary, how you doing?
Good. So happy to be listening to you again.
Oh, thank you. I'm very happy to be here again. I need you to do me a favor, Mary. Can you do me a favor, please?
Sure.
When, next time you go to Barty Farms, will you tell them that we said thank you for the support for all the years that they supported the Garden Show and that we wish them well? And I just didn't want them to think that we forgot about them because they were very good to us. And the one time I was there, the place was awesome, so... I know that you live up there, so if you will share that with them, I would appreciate it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Thank you so
much.
I can
do that for you.
That'd be great.
Yes.
So what can I do for you?
Well, I had another positive about the annual vinca.
Yes.
And that's that the deer don't like them.
Oh.
Yes.
Well,
we plant them up here all the time.
I was aware of that, but I had forgotten it again because I don't have deer. I don't have deer. I never had deer at Blooming Acres at my big farm because we had donkeys. And I know that doesn't necessarily always make sense, but donkeys are very territorial, and my donkeys were in the middle of my farm, and the deer would not approach the donkeys.
Hmm.
So, yes, it's
so
true.
So I just have to get some donkeys.
Yeah,
huh?
That would solve the problem. And it's funny. I went to a tiger preserve in Myrtle Beach, and they surround the tiger preserve with donkeys because they don't want any local creatures getting into the tigers, because you can pretty much guarantee that if local creatures get into the tigers, they will not be local creatures anymore.
Yes, they'll be gone.
Right.
They'll be gone.
But the donkeys are territorial enough that it'll keep local creatures away. And that was when I learned, that's why I don't have deer on my farm, because I've had donkeys for years, and I finally put it together, and that's where I learned it. But that's they are. So I've never had a problem, and my backyard at Tiny Farm is completely fenced in. So I don't have deer back there either. I do have deer in the front. They come across from the cemetery, but that's very good to know. That's a good reminder for me and all of our listeners. So thank you for sharing that. Is there anything else I can do for you?
Yeah, the other thing, my daughter just recently bought a house. And
congratulations.
They're trying,
Thank you. It's great. And it's only 20 minutes from me, so that's wonderful.
That is wonderful.
And they're looking for something to put along the back fence that will kind of give them some privacy. I mean, they can see a couple of neighbors' backyards behind them and whatever, and they were just looking for something that might grow kind of quickly and be evergreen so that they have kind of that little bit of privacy for them.
Mary, I'm going to be honest. This is going to require a conversation that is longer than we have time for.
But I'll call back next week.
But I want you to just investigate as a cheap short-term solution is considering growing from seed the perennial sunflower Maximilian. The Maximilian sunflowers, they will get tall, they will grow quickly, they will give you privacy during the summer, and then you can come up with a long-term plan. But we can talk more about it next week. But look into that because that's easy to grow and get really fast results, okay?
Okay. All right. I will look for them this week.
Okay, and we'll talk next week.
Okay, sounds great.
Thanks for calling. Okay, you have a great week.
You're welcome.
All right, Jordan, I think it's time for us to wrap this up, right? We're just about done for the day. Anything you want to add?
I think we covered it all.
We covered a lot, for sure. Yeah, but we're going to work very hard this week, right?
Yes.
We're going to work. The weather's finally turning in our favor, and we're going to try to go to
Branch Brook Park. Yep.
Okay, so I should tell everybody the website one more time. So there's a tremendous amount of information on there, and you can sign up to get emails and updates. And it's Peggy, P-E-G-I, garden.com. And on there is not only my posts, but the list of all of our sponsors. So anybody that you want to get a hold of, you can find all the information to reach out to them on the website. And you can also submit questions in addition to that. So lots of reasons to get on there, sign up, or just check it out every now and then. So until next week, everybody, have a great week. I'll be here same time, same place.
Right.
So until then, have a
happy
good one.
Happy gardening.
Bye-bye.
Tune in to the all-new Garden Show with Peggy Ballester-Howells, Sunday mornings from 10 a.m. to noon on 95.1 WOLD, Central Jersey's music and information station. Missed a show? You can listen to past shows on demand anytime at WOLDradio.com.
WPRB HD3, Princeton.